This is the TTY Dialer, episode 49, for the week of October 9th through October 14th. Hello and welcome to your weekly companion to WRVO's Golden Age of Radio show, tuned to yesterday. I'm Mark Livonier. Every night of the week, you can hear Golden Age of Radio drama, mystery, comedy, thrills, western, science fiction, romance, and more from 10 to midnight as we broadcast it live on the air, also online at WRVO.org, where it's streamed live. And this podcast brings you a blend of radio history, we have some fun with sound from the past, and a look at the shows coming up for the week on Tune to Yesterday.
Before we continue, here are a few words about smoking enjoyment. After all the cigarette mildness tests, including the famous 30-day Camel test, Camel leads all other brands by billions. Here's how you can make your own 30-day Camel test. A sensible test of cigarette mildness based on steady smoking. Smoke Camels, and Camels only, for the next 30 days. In other words, go steady with Camels for 30 days. Pack after pack, week after week. Here's what you'll find out from your own 30-day Camel test. You'll see how rich, how flavorful Camels are pack after pack. You'll discover how well Camels get along with your throat week after week. That does sound like a sensible way to judge a cigarette, doesn't it? So why not start your own 30-day Camel test tonight? It won't take you long to find out why Camel leads all other cigarettes in popularity by billions of cigarettes per year.
How mild, how mild, how mild, how mild, how mild can a cigarette be? Make the Camel 30-day test and you'll see. Smoke Camels and see.
That was a commercial for the detective show Richard Diamond, Private Detective. The R.G. Reynolds Company hopped on the series with their ad dollars for just about a year in the middle of deals with a Rexall drug brand that would bookend the show's run with their support. That clip was from 1952. At the time, the star of the show, Dick Powell, had signed on for advertising with Camel that put him in magazine ads and spots on the radio, of course, and in television commercials like this.
Let's watch a motion picture in the making.
Your racket's over, sweetheart. Believe me, I hate to see a pretty girl like you go to jail.
Okay, print it. Relax, everybody. You too, Mr. Powell.
Well, that's something I really know how to do. Whether it's between scenes in a motion picture or during rehearsals of my radio program, Richard Diamond, I know how to relax. I just sit back and enjoy a Camel. I smoke Camels regularly because they're mild and they agree with my throat. And that's mighty important when you use your voice as much as I do.
Try Camels yourself as your steady smoke for 30 days. Your T-Zone will tell you how mild and good-tasting Camels are, pack after pack, week after week. You'll soon see why Camel is America's most popular cigarette, leading all other brands by billions.
Yes, make a note. Think of your throat. Enjoy Camels. I always do.
Now, it's a fact that smoking doesn't pay, but the companies who produced cigarettes in the 1950s sure did, sponsoring numerous programs throughout the broadcast day on radio and television, which that sort of advertising was outlawed in January of 1971. But when they were on the air and their bottom line was being threatened, particularly with taxes, at least on that Richard Diamond Private Detective show where we got the first clip from at the end of the broadcast, they made mention of it.
If you're ever asked who's the most obliging taxpayer, vote for yourself if you're a cigarette smoker, because you and 60 million others pay more than a 50% tax on the cigarettes you smoke. Yes, every time you buy a pack of cigarettes, you pay the federal government 8 cents, and most of you pay 3 or 4 cents more in state or city cigarette taxes on that pack. That means that better than half the price you pay for cigarettes goes for tax.
This Monday night on Tune to Yesterday, we have an hour of drama for you from the Lux Radio Theater, bringing us the story Canute Rockne, All-American, from 1940. Then it's Mystery from Casey, Crime Photographer, and Mr. Kane, Tracer of Lost Persons. This Tuesday night, Jack Benny fans should tune in at 10 o'clock for comedy from the Four Theater, where there's an adaptation of one of his movies, The Horn Blows at Midnight.
I may be wrong, but I think that's the spot right there.
Huh?
The place where I was killed 300 years ago.
You were what?
I was killed here 300 years ago. I was run over by a cow. I really was. A hit and moo driver.
And we have Romance in the Final Hour this Tuesday, October 10th as well. So if you have time or any of these shows sound good to you, tune in Monday and Tuesday, October 9th and 10th from 10 to midnight on Tune to Yesterday. In the first half of the 20th century, aside from radio and the movies, theater hosted countless talents. And in terms of dramatic couples of the stage, in England, husband and wife Herbert Marshall and Edna Best made their mark as a legendary acting couple. And here in the States, Alfred Lunt and Lynn Fontanne did the same, with sold-out shows and a pioneering style that brought them to the same status. From the 1920s through the 40s, they really wooed audiences with their on-stage chemistry. And it was on this Friday, October 13th in 1924, that one of their great stage successes made its debut at the Garrick Theater in New York. It was the three-act comedy The Guardsman, in which Lunt and Fontanne play the roles of the actor and the actor's wife, and the nearly 250 performances of the show are often pointed to as the springboard for their success on Broadway in the years that followed. It was produced by a small company called the Theater Guild, who, with the United States Steel sponsorship, started their own radio show in the 1930s that featured plays that the Guild had produced live in the past and new ones written just for the show, now called the Theater Guild on the Air. And often on the show, if possible, the original stars of said plays perform them for a radio audience. Playwright Arthur Miller, who often worked in radio, adapted the Lunt and Fontanne vehicle, The Guardsman, for the air, and apparently he presented them the script and they insisted they sit down and read it right in front of him. Now, according to Miller, everything was going fine until they started to notice new lines and even new scenes in the play that would have taken care of themselves in the original stage versions with, let's say, a look or a gesture, even a painted set as the backdrop. But for this version, things had to be explained because it was radio. And the Lunts, as they were known, were confused and kind of upset. And as Miller put it, suddenly they would stop and glare at the script as if a louse had crawled over it. The Lunts did have a genuine curiosity about radio and being good at it, and as good as they were as actors, they had to go through a process of relearning their craft in a way that would bring the intimacy, power, humor, even integrity that made them so famous on the stage in front of a live audience. Which, to many, they successfully did on the evening of September 30th, 1945, in the fourth broadcast of the Theater Guild on the Air. And here's a moment from that episode called The Guardsman.
Well, it's you.
My coming, then, is unexpected?
Oh, for heaven's sake, stop acting. What's brought you back so soon?
What's that? I returned 2 whole days earlier, and all you have to say to me is, what's brought you back so soon? Is that your greeting, your kiss, your embrace?
I think I'll go and put on my old clothes.
Come, darling, greet me, greet me.
Oh, dear, dear, I was just beginning to forget your sarcasms and your naggings, and now it's to begin all over again.
Well, if you want me to, I can go back to Olmutz.
Don't, you're perfectly horrid. What happened? I thought you were signed for 3 performances in Olmutz.
The theater at Olmutz has burned down.
Burned down?
It will be in the papers tomorrow. I escaped within an inch of my life.
Oh, was anyone hurt?
Everyone was hurt. And now I am home again to regain my strength with my sweet little wife.
You're in a good humor.
Yeah, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm in a good humor.
Very well, then. I'm in a good humor. You're in a good humor. Everything's all right. I'm playing Hamlet tonight at our theater.
You're going to stay home until it's time to go to the theater?
Yes. I'm still trembling. I was nearly consumed by a great flame last night. That is, in Olmutz. What did you do with yourself last evening?
Nothing.
Must have been awful boring.
Yeah, awfully.
Weren't you going to the opera?
Oh, yes, yes, how silly of me. I quite forgot that, so I did go to
Yeah, I suppose Bernhard dropped in during the evening as usual?
Yes, he was there as well.
Then you were alone during most of the evening?
No.
No?
No. Mama was with me.
Oh. Otherwise, you were alone all evening.
Oh, yeah, you are. If I tell you I was alone, I was alone.
All evening?
Well, Bernhard was here, but you were here, still here, of course, yourself.
Yeah, no one else.
No, no one else. Wait, now.
I don't know, but I thought the concierge said something about a soldier.
Really? Well, perhaps the soldier came to see Liesel. We'll ask her.
No, never mind asking Liesel. One look from you and she'll confess the soldier came to see her.
Oh, would she?
Yeah, she'd even swear to it.
Why should she swear to it?
Because if the soldier came to see you...
Yes, well...
I was only joking. I've been riding in a smoking car all day. You know, I'm full of bad jokes.
Yeah, and so, little by little, our harmless questions have turned into a regular cross-examination. You know, I was quite happy at first. I was quite touched. I thought you were interested in how I spent the evening. And now it appears you've been suspecting me and with a soldier. Very noble, I must say.
Oh, please.
You must be out of your mind.
Please, please. It's the smoke, dear. You know, first the theater burns and then all day in the smoking
yes,
car.
Yes, this is really too much. I want to know what is back of all this about a soldier. I'll call Mama and Lisa.
Lisa will tell the same lies as Mama, and Mama will tell the same lies as Lisa.
I insist that you tell me what you mean.
I mean that yesterday afternoon after I left, a soldier was here.
Well, perhaps there was. Perhaps there was a whole regiment here. What's that got to do with me if Lisa...
Well, let's agree. Why, Lisa has confessed he came to see her. We'll agree, no?
Oh, yes. Yes, of course. It was a fireman.
A fireman?
Yes, yes, a fireman came to inspect the fire escape. The concierge must have mistaken him for a soldier.
Oh, a fireman?
Yes, yes, a fireman. Why are you so surprised? Firemen are always interested in fire escapes. He even went up on the roof to inspect the chimney.
Chimney?
Yes.
He climbed up to the roof?
Yes, that's right. Of course, when he came down, I had a glass of tea ready
for
him.
Oh, yes, of course. Well, I don't accuse you of climbing up to the roof with him. The only difficulty is that firemen do not wear beards.
Beards?
Beards.
What are you talking?
Guardsmen, however, always wear them.
Guardsmen?
Guardsmen.
Oh, I see, I see. So all this is not merely just a joke.
No, this is not just a joke.
And you seriously believe that while you were slaving away, earning money in Olmos in a burning theater, that I was entertaining soldiers?
Oh, my dear, entertaining
soldiers. What did you say then? You said something much worse. What are you doing now?
No.
You're thinking that I've deceived you.
No, no, for heaven's sake. Now, wait a minute. Don't get so excited.
Gave up her freedom, her whole life, her young and precious life for your sake.
No, no, my dear.
How can you do this to me?
No, this is really not...
You're killing my very soul. Someone has slandered me. You believe it?
Oh, my dear, now, this
I can't
nonsense.
Stand it any longer. I feel that it's all over between
no,
us.
No, no, no. Don't say that. Don't say such things. You know how madly I love you.
Yet you suspect me. You believe lies about me.
No, no, I don't believe anything wrong about
you.
I'll
go away. You believe malicious lies about my character.
No, no, darling, don't go. Don't stay with me. I don't believe him.
With all your heart? You mean it honestly?
With all my heart.
You love me and trust me?
I love you and trust you.
Because it's all lies and slander. I was alone with Mama in the box and I thought of your beautiful, ardent eyes. And I longed for you. And I wanted you with me. I loved you.
Oh, my darling.
How I must love you to be able to forgive all this. I do forgive you.
Forgive me. Forgive me. You see... I'm so in love with you. Mari, why are you crying?
I can only tell you why I'm crying.
This Wednesday night, October 11th at 10 o'clock on Tune to Yesterday, a Western on the Lux Radio Theater called Westward the Women from 1952. Then at 11, it's Horror from episodes of The Weird Circle and Murder at Midnight.
Evelyn, honey, it can't be the same man. It's just your imagination.
No, Charles, it's not. It was the same man. I remember his face in every detail.
No, I don't see... Well, I guess we have to do something about this, darling. What can we do? Look, suppose we go to see Dr. Lieber. He should be able to help you.
No. It's no use, Charles. He's after me.
This Thursday evening, October 12th at 10 o'clock, it's sitcoms from The Life of Riley and Lucille Ball as star in My Favorite Husband, then Crime at 11 from the Radio City Playhouse and The Whistler. So if any of these sound good to you, be sure to tune in Wednesday, October 11th and Thursday, October 12th from 10 to midnight on WRVO if you are in our broadcast listening area, or if not, just listen online where we stream the station live at WRVO.org. Hobbyists of any kind or collectors, researchers, numbers kind of make a difference. They seem to excite us when it comes to milestones and that sort of thing. And next week, it's the 50th episode of the TTY Dialer podcast. We have over 18 hours up online now of old-time radio history and everything we bring you. So as part of this sort of anniversary, I'd like to have you write me and let me know what you like about the podcast or what you don't like, things you'd like me to add or change. For instance, we had our first interview last week, which I do hope you enjoyed. So just email me, mark@wrbo.org, with your thoughts on the TTY Dialer podcast. I have been sort of thinking about a new direction for it that might bring it down to be a much shorter offering week to week. So let me know that you're listening. If you'd like it or not, I want to hear from you. My email is mark@wrbo.org, and I have something special planned. We'll telescope one of the most famous broadcasts in radio history next week, and not the War of the Worlds. Now, First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt, wife of President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, was born this Wednesday, October 11th in 1884 in New York. And much like her husband and his on-air fireside chats, she was radio-friendly and a familiar voice on the air during and beyond her husband's time in the White House. She made her radio debut on her own show, which was a series of nine-minute talks heard as early as 1932, shortly after her husband was inaugurated. And those shows would later transition to 15-minute broadcasts with names like It's a Woman's World, Over Our Coffee Cups, and others through 1951. On the air, she presented a voice of reason, tolerance, and one that championed the rights of women. And in her weekly show, sometimes more often than that, she would talk about everything from Washington politics to popular recipes at her home on Pennsylvania Avenue.
When I go out of the White House, life still is made easy for me. But going as I do, with definite things to do on a lecture trip, I get to many different types of communities, and I come in closer contact with people and with the life of the nation than I otherwise could do. Then I have a purely personal reason for taking these trips. I have children all over the United States, and it's very pleasant to steal a little visit with them between lecture dates. Of course, having money which I've earned and which I can do with as I wish is another good reason for going on these trips. When you live in the White House, you have great opportunities for knowing about the lives of innumerable individuals. They write and appeal for assistance, and there is scarcely a worthy undertaking of any kind that does not appeal to the President and his wife. No matter how hard I try, I could never meet every appeal for either personal charity or organized charity and civic work. The appeals to the President are so great that it has always seemed to me hardly fair to add to them. And so what I can earn has been a very great satisfaction. In addition, it has been valuable in teaching me how to work, as well as in giving me an opportunity to meet a percentage of the requests which are made. And now I believe we'll pause to listen to a few words from Mr. Grauer.
Thank you, Mrs. Roosevelt. Friends, the makers of Sweetheart Soap feel highly privileged.
Early in Eleanor Roosevelt's time on radio, she was crudely criticized for her delivery and didn't really get critical respect until the 1940s, when the nation was thrust into war, and her show was expanded to hosting interviews with notable guests and celebrities. After her husband's death, she gained a new respect from her years in broadcasting and what many called her courageous commentaries on the air as a woman in a time where there were few that could command the amount of respect and audience that she could. Let's hear some sound now from Eleanor Roosevelt's program from one of the most important dates in her husband's presidency, the day, as he put it, that would live in infamy, December 7th, 1941.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm speaking to you tonight at a very serious moment in our history. The Cabinet is convening, and the leaders in Congress are meeting with the President. The State Department and Army and Navy officials have been with the President all afternoon. In fact, the Japanese ambassador was talking to the President at the very time that Japan's airships were bombing our citizens in Hawaii and the Philippines and sinking one of our transports loaded with lumber on its way to Hawaii. By tomorrow morning, the members of Congress will have a full report and be ready for action. In the meantime, we, the people, are already prepared for action. Many of you all over this country have boys in the services who will now be called upon to go into action. You have friends and families in what has suddenly become a danger zone. You cannot escape anxiety. You cannot escape a clutch of fear at your heart. And yet I hope that the certainty of what we have to meet will make you rise above these fears. We are the free and unconquerable people of the United States of America.
This Friday night at 10, October 13th, on Tune to Yesterday, science fiction from episodes of the Hollywood Star Playhouse, then X-1 from 1957. After that, it's Adventure from the NBC University Theater, bringing us a great adaptation of Joseph Conrad's Heart of Darkness.
Kurtz is a prodigy. Today he is chief of the best station. Next he will be assistant manager. In a year or two... But I dare say you know what he'll be by then. You are of the new gang. I know.
You know? Malapart, you've been reading the company's confidential correspondence. when Mr. Kurtz is general manager, you won't have the opportunity.
The Saturday at 10, more science fiction from Suspense and Dimension X, then sitcoms. You'll hear The Great Gildersleeve and Duffy's Tavern. Here are these programs, if you can, October 13th, Friday at 10, or Saturday, October 14th, from 10 to midnight on Tune to Yesterday. And that's it for this week's TTY Dialer podcast. Remember, I'd like to hear your thoughts as we approach our 50th episode coming up next week. Things about the podcast you enjoy or don't or look forward to or not, let me know. Just email mark@wrvo.org. That's mark@wrvo.org. I'll read your responses in next week's podcast, so leave your name and let me know if you'd like to use it or not, too. Okay, until then, I hope to hear from you. Thanks for listening.